In today's news headlines, former whistleblower Chelsea Manning has been taken into custody for refusing to testify to a grand jury against WikiLeaks. Manning was held in contempt of court in a secret investigation into WikiLeaks. In a statement outside the court hearing, she said, "These secret proceedings tend to favor the government. I'm always willing to explain things publicly." Manning had been sentenced to 35 years for sharing government documents about the Iraq and Afghanistan wars with WikiLeaks and served 7 years before being pardoned by President Barack Obama. She will apparently remain in custody until she decides to testify or until the grand jury disbands. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump's former campaign chairman Paul Manafort has been sentenced to 47 months in prison for one of several charges he was convicted for in investigations originating from the special counsel's probe. Manafort's crimes were consistent with a 19 to 24-year prison term, and yet he was ultimately sentenced to less than 4 years. With 9 months already served, Manafort will be released in just over 3 years from now. According to the New York Times, Judge T.S. Ellis III of the U.S. District Court in Alexandria, Virginia, said that although Mr. Manafort's crimes were very serious, following the guidelines would have resulted in an unduly harsh punishment. Manafort was convicted of crimes that involved hiding millions of dollars overseas and then deceiving banks to obtain loans. He was also caught repeatedly lying to prosecutors. And although he met with the special counsel for 50 hours to cooperate in the investigation, prosecutors said what he told them was of little value. Barbara McQuaid, a former U.S. attorney, told The Times that Manafort's sentence was, quote, atrociously low, and that while many judges do sentence leniently in white-collar cases, dropping all the way from 19 years to 4 years is absurd. Manafort faces a second sentencing hearing on his other convictions with a different judge next week, and may not be so lucky then. In other news related to the special counsel, Trump's former attorney Michael Cohen is suing the Trump Organization over legal bills. Cohen is saying the organization had promised to pay for his defense and owed him $1.9 million. It was apparently covering his legal bills until about 2 months after Cohen's office was raided by the FBI. Cohen says the bills went unpaid as soon as the Trump Organization suspected he might be cooperating with the special counsel. One of Cohen's current lawyers, in other news, Lanny Davis, filed a statement this week saying that his client was open to the ongoing dangling of a possible pardon by Trump representatives privately and in the media. Davis's statement appears to contradict Cohen, who said in his public testimony last week that he had never sought nor would accept a pardon from Trump. The House passed a broad resolution on Thursday condemning all forms of bigotry and hate, including anti-Semitism. The resolution was the culmination of a bitter internal battle within the Democratic Party over Minnesota Representative Ilhan Omar's comments on the influence that the Israel lobby wields over American lawmakers. After initially proposing a resolution condemning only anti-Semitism, a grassroots outcry, as well as recriminations from within the party, demanded why there had been no such resolution during all the times that other members of Congress and the president himself spewed hateful, Islamophobic, and/or anti-black racist rhetoric. Here is House Speaker Nancy Pelosi explaining what led to the final resolution that was voted on.
I don't think that the Congresswoman is perhaps appreciate the full weight of how it's heard by other people, although I don't believe it was intended in any anti-Semitic way. But the fact is, if that's how it was interpreted, we have to remove all doubt.
That's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi commenting on the House resolution on hate that passed on Thursday with a vote of 407-23. Republican Representative Steve King, who has been Congress's most notorious contemporary racist, did not vote for it. Meanwhile, Senators Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Kamala Harris all released statements defending Omar. The House Financial Services Committee has opened inquiries into the leadership of the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. Newly appointed CFPB head Kathy Kraninger appeared at a committee hearing on Thursday and was grilled by Democratic lawmakers over her continuation of her predecessor Mick Mulvaney's policy of defanging the consumer watchdog group. Here is a particularly tense exchange between newly elected Representative Katie Porter of California and Kraninger.
I'm asking if you could even ballpark on a $200 loan for a term of 2 weeks with a $20 origination fee and a rate of $10 per 100, that is 10%. Ballpark, what is the APR?
And I'm telling you that the APR
calculation is, that a no?
Is a math exercise, and the question
okay, but
is,
reclaiming,
when am I going to pay off the term
reclaiming
of my
loan? My time.
The other issues that are happening
reclaiming
in my
life. Time. I take that as to a no, that you cannot do the calculation, but I'm particularly concerned about this, given that you could not even correctly define the APR.
And that's Representative Katie Porter grilling CFPB Chair Kathy Kraninger on Thursday at a House Financial Services Committee hearing. California Representative Maxine Waters, who heads the committee, said the Trump administration has undertaken a sustained effort to destroy the agency. I'm committed to reversing the damage that Mulvaney caused. The Justice Department has begun cracking down on fraud schemes that target elderly Americans. In what is considered the largest ever crackdown on such fraud, the DOJ announced on Thursday that it had filed criminal charges against more than 200 people. According to AP, among the defendants identified by the department are two people who prosecutors say ran a telemarketing scam out of Costa Rica and swindled victims by telling them they had won prizes in sweepstakes contests and needed to transfer large sums to collect the prizes. The two were extradited to face charges in North Carolina. Here's Attorney General William Barr on Thursday.
This is a particularly despicable crime because and it's a massive and growing problem. And it's despicable because the people involved are vulnerable, and because of their stage in life, they don't have the opportunity frequently to recover. And so these losses are devastating to them. We have to prosecute an all-out attack on this kind of crime.
That's Attorney General William Barr on Thursday explaining the fraud charges against people targeting elderly Americans. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency is under fire over news that it kept a dossier on immigrant rights activists, journalists, and even lawyers working on the border immigration crisis. The CBP's own independent watchdog agency says it is now looking into the matter. Andrew Meehan, Assistant Commissioner of Public Affairs, said CBP has policies in place that prohibit discrimination against arriving travelers and has specific provisions regarding encounters with journalists. Some of the people that the CBP tracked were labeled as instigators. The House Homeland Security Committee has also opened an inquiry into the issue. Committee Chair Benny Thompson of Mississippi and Committee Member Kathleen Rice of New York have written to the agency saying, quote, "The appearance that CBP is targeting journalists, lawyers, and advocates, and particularly those who work on immigration matters or report on border and immigration issues, raises questions about possible misuse of CBP border search authority and requires oversight to ensure the protections of Americans' legal and constitutional rights." A former police officer in Florida was found guilty on Thursday of multiple charges in the shooting death of a black motorist. It's the first time in 30 years that a law enforcement agent has been found guilty in the state in such a case. After 4 hours of deliberation, an all-white jury found the 41-year-old fired officer, Numan Raja, who happens to be South Asian, guilty of killing 31-year-old Corey Jones, who had been in his car, speaking on the phone with a tow truck dispatcher when Raja approached him dressed in plain clothes. What followed was a chase on foot during which Raja fired several shots and killed Jones. The Palm Beach Gardens Police Department fired the officer soon after the shooting. And that does it for our headlines today.